Hello, everyone, and welcome to Full Time, where we take you around the world of soccer, locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally. Full Time is presented by the Game Sports Show and powered by the Game Entertainment and Media. You are listening to Season 2, Episode 2 of Full Time. I am your host, Daniel Scarpino, and with me is our co-host, Gaetano Gallo. Before we begin today's show, Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. With their three locations in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, you can download and access the Pizza Portal app so you can enjoy a delicious hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. We remind our listeners that Full Time is a weekly recorded podcast on the Game Sports Show. Recordings of Full Time occur every Thursday evening and uploads to all of our platforms for public viewing and listening occur every Friday morning. Folks, it's great to have you back with us on Full Time and allowing us to be in the comfort of your homes, on your cell phones and in your ears, and of course, on your screens. This episode is our preview show for the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. Gaetano, snow is on the ground. We are just days away from the World Cup, and we are here together this Thursday evening, which is more than I could ask for. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, Scarps. How are you?
I'm doing great, my friend. Thank you for that. And I'm really excited for today's episode. A reminder to our listeners once more that this is our official preview show for the World Cup. But we also have a few other items in today's podcast, and we are looking forward to sharing all of that with you. So without further ado, G, and to everyone who has taken the time to tune in here today, let's kick off. We begin today's show with a final review of the English Premier League as we enter into the World Cup break. It's Arsenal at the top of the table entering the break with 37 points. Your Manchester City, Gaetano, sits second place with 32 points. Newcastle and Tottenham make up spots 3 and 4, and it's Manchester United and Liverpool who round out the top six. Gaetano, we talked about this last week, and we see a few minor changes now to how the top six looks from just 7 days ago. We've watched 14 to 15 games in the Premier League this season, and I want to turn over to you to ask you what you make of the table right now as we enter into this period without club football.
I think the top of the table is looking really tasty. It's going to be a lot closer of a title race, I think, than we've seen in the last few years, judging from these first 14 games. And the bottom of the table is also looking really exciting. There's a lot of teams playing very poorly, we'll put it that way.
That is one way to put it for certain. And we talked last week, G, about what we made of the Premier League so far. And I wanted your opinion, as do our listeners, on what you think could potentially happen after the World Cup break in regards to the table, either staying similar or perhaps a small change.
I hate to kind of, weasel my way out of this, but I think a big, big factor is going to be injuries at the World Cup. If teams are going to come away with players hurt, that, even at the bottom of the table all the way to the top, could be massive for the rest of the season.
And we know how quickly things in the Premier League and generally in football can change, so that certainly will be exciting to see. As you alluded to, Gaetano, in the relegation zone, it's certainly heating up there. It's currently Nottingham Forest, Southampton, and Wolves. There are nine teams as well who have yet to reach 20 points this season in the Premier League. So we could say that the battle at the bottom could stretch from, of course, the bottom three to as high as, let's say, Fulham, who sit in ninth place. A swing of maybe two or three games could make all the difference, which is quite unique and borderline mad when we frame it in that way. My question to you, G, is what are you making so far of the relegation battle just under halfway through the season?
I'm really surprised to see Wolverhampton sitting at the bottom of the table right now. They're always a very solid team, usually a upper mid-table, anywhere from like 10th to 7th. So after 15 games, for them to only have two wins and four draws is just shocking to me, really.
And perhaps the managerial change that occurred there might switch things now, and perhaps they hit a run of form or get that new manager bounce. So we'll certainly see what happens. But, Gian, with the relegation battle in so many ways, I find it to be fascinating. And perhaps it's not always for good reasons, but it's fascinating nonetheless. And sometimes what it means for teams to just stay in the Premier League is in some ways comparable to what it means for teams to, let's say, qualify for Europe, for example. They call it a matter of life and death in footballing terms, but it really is portrayed and conveyed in such a way on the pitch. So, Gaetano, I wanted to ask, do you expect a rather large battle at the bottom of the Premier League after the World Cup break, or will it eventually narrow itself down to maybe just a few teams?
I don't expect it to, stay as wide open as it is right now. Like you said, almost ninth place Fulham is not really barely out of the relegation zone. So I think that we'll kind of narrow it down. There's a couple teams like Nottingham Forest, Bournemouth, and Southampton, I think, will probably stay closer to that battle. But I do expect teams like Wolverhampton, like West Ham, to kind of drag themselves out of it.
Yeah, and it'll be an interesting shout to see what Everton does as well, who found themselves in a huge relegation battle last year. They're in the mix of that as well. The English Premier League resumes on Boxing Day. Yes, you heard that right. On Boxing Day, December 26th, where the EPL will crack on with its festive period of football with games, and more games. Over to the other four leagues that make up Europe's Big Five, I will simply state the top end of the table and what that looks like for each division in order for folks to have clarity as we enter into the World Cup break. In Italy's Serie A, it's of course Napoli, as we discussed at length last week on our show, that sit top of the table, unbeaten, I might add, with a staggering 41 points. Milan, Juventus, and Lazio now make up the top four. Inter, Atalanta, and Roma occupy the remaining European positions. In Spain's La Liga, it's Barcelona at the top of the table with Real Madrid in second. A mere 2 points separate the two sides. Real Sociedad, Athletic Club, Atletico Madrid, and Betis round out the top six. Over in Germany, it's Bayern Munich at the top of the Bundesliga. As well as, I mean, really, we normally expect to see that. It's Freiburg, Leipzig, Frankfurt, Union Berlin, and Dortmund that finalize the top six. Finally, in France's Ligue 1, the frontrunners, PSG, are doing what they do atop the table. Lens, Rennes, and Marseille make up the top four. Gee, we talked at length about the Premier League just then and now, and is there anything in the other four big leagues that catch your eye specifically, or maybe that has impressed you as we enter into this break of club football?
I think a lot of the top teams have, you know, done what they do. We see PSG and Bayern sitting at the top of their respective leagues. I'm drawn back to Serie A with Napoli. They are just playing phenomenally. I managed to catch their game over the weekend, and it was just beautiful to watch.
Yeah, they are playing a fantastic brand of football right now. And as we talked about last week, this could be the surprise of the season in terms of all of Europe's Big Five. This is Daniel Scarpino and Gaetano Gallo, and you are listening to Full Time on the Game Sports Show. A reminder that Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. You can download and access the Pizza Portal app for any of the three locations in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Have a delicious, hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. And now, Gaetano, before we go into the World Cup preview portion of the show, it was Cristiano Ronaldo who took not only the footballing world, but the world at large by surprise after having clips displayed all over the internet with exclusive, uncensored content and interview with Piers Morgan regarding his time at Manchester United, and specifically where things have gone wrong at the club. The initial title of the interview in the first clip stated, "It's time to say something," quote unquote. A shocking revelation from one of the world's most renowned superstars. To brief our listeners a little more, Cristiano Ronaldo participated in a two-part interview with Piers Morgan to discuss matters surrounding Manchester United, including his relationship with the owners and directors, his discontent with the manager, the atmosphere at the club, the lack of progression, family matters not being taken seriously, and minimal change to when he was first at the club in his late teens and early 20s. Gaetano, we haven't seen something quite like this in some time, at least not in my memory. I want to turn it over to you to get your opinion on the matter and kind of get a sense of where you stand on this rather surprising turn of events involving one of the world's largest and biggest athletic stars.
I think the biggest shock for me was kind of the timing of this interview. A lot of the stuff he said was kind of true, or at least he had very fair points. But, you know, if he had dropped this over the summer, you know, there could work a way for him to leave the club or, you know, find some sort of solution. But for him to do it the week before the World Cup starts, there's still Premier League match days after the World Cup before the January transfer window. The timing is just really, really odd to me. That's what struck me the most.
I agree with you that the timing of it is a little bit odd. And I also had some conversations with some other folks, and they alluded to perhaps it's PR people who've guided him in such a way to make the claim at this time. But it's very difficult to tell, obviously, right now. But I have listened to the interview, G, and the clips, and I have to admit that there were a lot of things in there that surprised me. And there were other things in there that didn't surprise me so much, kind of like you alluded to, really, that, you know, he did hit on some things that certainly were true. But I guess the thing that kind of got me most, G, was that the owners and directors felt as though Ronaldo was being untruthful regarding his daughter's illness during preseason. The other stuff I could you know, sort of take it or leave it, if you will. But yeah, that for me, I found to be quite unsettling. Was there anything specific in there that sort of stood out to you?
Definitely that, the stuff about his daughter. That's just not something you really should be lying about. And I 100% believe him, you know, I just want to get that on the record. Yeah. But like, for the owners, and especially like, I don't mean this like other players don't matter as much, but he's Cristiano Ronaldo. Like, if he says he has a family issue, whether it's his daughter being sick or whatever, like, it shouldn't be priority over anyone else, but you should definitely be paying attention to that and, you know, respecting it and giving him kind of the time he needs to deal with that.
Well, for certain. And I think most people want to be empathetic, but when it comes to something like that, it's hard to believe that anybody would make something like that up. And obviously it's turned out to be true, as anybody would imagine. So I did find that to be, like I said, quite unsettling. And what I would say, G, I suppose, is regardless of opinion, and I know you and I actually have debated this before, I personally feel as though Ronaldo is the greatest to have ever played the sport. That's just my personal opinion. And there's obviously the pioneers, if you will, of the game of soccer, the likes of Pele, Maradona, Johan Cruyff, and many others who have made the game what it is. Of course, Lionel Messi, in the opinion of many, is the greatest ever, which I respect as well. But irrespective of the way that we might feel, G, it's undeniable that Ronaldo has been a massive contributor to the evolution of the sport and how it's progressed, not to mention his philanthropism and other works that he's done outside of the game. But in your opinion, Gaetano, does that give him a little bit more leeway on these sorts of remarks, or should he just be treated like anyone else on these matters?
I want to be like partial here, or impartial, sorry, and say that, oh, he should be treated like anyone else. But like I said, like, he's Cristiano Ronaldo. That name means something in the world of sports, like across the globe. That name means something.
Yeah.
It's just hard. I can't imagine them, like, United, I don't want to say punishing him, but like, there's really nothing you can do at this point. The bridge is now burned. Like, there's no coming back from this.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like there is a way back, especially with the magnitude to which this two-part interview occurred. So really, no matter the way that we feel on it, there are certainly going to be huge decisions in the works at Manchester United with Cristiano Ronaldo. And at this moment in time, it's obviously too soon to speak about the legalities of it. But decisions will be made, and where one of those decisions, or all of those decisions, are made, and when they're made, we really don't know. But one of the greatest stars of the game in terms of the sport of soccer, the game itself, Cristiano Ronaldo, is one of the greatest stars that we've ever seen. And where he will end up obviously remains to be seen. But of course, here on Full Time, we will endeavor to keep our listeners informed. And now, Gaetano, the main reason as to why we are here, and the main reason that the majority of listeners would have tuned in today, it's time for our World Cup preview. First and foremost, are you getting excited and feeling the buzz, sir?
I mean, I've been feeling the buzz this whole time with Canada's whole qualifying run, just completely unexpected. So I've been buzzing for this since about last year, actually.
Yeah, we're in a unique position, one that we really haven't been in our lifetime. So I certainly share the same feelings as you. And the way that we're going to do this, Gaetano, and I'll explain it to the best of my ability for our listeners, is going to be in a somewhat competition-based format. In this tournament, there are 8 total groups and 4 teams in each group. These groups are entitled Group A through Group H. That's Group A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. That means with 8 total groups and 4 teams per group, there are 32 teams in total at the World Cup tournament. The top 2 teams in each group will advance to the knockout phase. What we're going to do here, folks, is I'm going to state the group and then the 4 teams that are in that group. Afterwards, I'm going to turn it over to our co-host Gaetano, who will give his top 2 teams in terms of who he believes will advance from that group. I will then give my opinion, and we will see where we agree, disagree, and possibly a blend of both. G, are you ready, my friend?
Always.
Awesome. So here we go. In Group A, we have the hosts, Qatar, as well. We have Ecuador, Senegal, and the Netherlands. Gaetano, what are your thoughts on this group, and who do you have coming out of it?
So I am tempted to change my prediction here, just based on the news from today that Sadio Mane is out of the entire World Cup for Senegal. But I still think they have just enough to squeak in second over Ecuador and Qatar, with Netherlands taking the top spot.
Okay, so Gaetano has the Netherlands and Senegal. And for me, I've also got the Netherlands going through top of the group. I think Louis van Gaal is a pragmatic manager as he is. He will get his side through. They may not possibly play the most attractive football because, especially going deeper into the tournament, it'll be more defensively structured. And, you know, they do play a lot of back passes, square passes. They try to draw the opposition out of their shape and these sort of things. But I also do think, as well as you, we totally agree on this. I think that Senegal, even without Sadio Mane due to his injury, I think they will find a way through. And remember, this is the same team who won the African Cup of Nations earlier this year. So they will have the pedigree to move on, in my opinion. So for us, Group A, it looks to be the same. Group B has England, Iran, the United States, and Wales. G, what do you think here, and who do you got?
So I've got England going through in the top of the group, and Wales finishing second, with the USA in third and Iran in last.
I also have the exact same thing as you. I got England top in the group. I think they have certainly more than enough talent in that side to go through, despite some of the negativity in the media. They look a good outfit under Gareth Southgate. I also think that Wales will go through. Just seeing them at the Euros, they showed me certainly enough that they can make some noise at this tournament. I was a bit torn between them and the States, but I just think that the States might need a couple more years to develop and maybe get some more experience, seeing as they're a relatively young side, but time will tell. So we have the same for Group B as well. In Group C, we have Argentina, Saudi Arabia, Mexico, and Poland. Gaetano, this is an interesting group. What do you think about it, and who do you have going through to the knockout phase?
So I'll start with the top and bottom. I have Argentina finishing top of the group and Saudi Arabia in fourth. Poland and Mexico, though, I flip-flopped this for about an hour last night trying to figure this out. I finally settled on Poland in second and Mexico in third.
Man, we are 6-for-6 at the minute because I am also fully on Argentina in this group. Such a good team, obviously, with so much quality. And remember, this is the team that won the Copa America not that long ago. And I have this good feeling about Poland, G. I really, really do. I actually picked them as my dark horse in the Euro Cup, and they didn't quite live up to it. They played good football, I thought, but didn't obviously get the results they needed. But this time around, I think they will get it done. Mexico, for me as well, will just miss out. Group D has France, Australia, Denmark, and Tunisia. I think I can see where this one is going, Gaetano, but tell me what you think and what you got here.
I think I might be breaking the streak here, Scarps. So I've got Denmark finishing top of the group with France in second, Australia in third, and Tunisia in last.
Well, it's funny. We don't have a streak broken because I have the exact same thing. I actually have, funny enough, though, Denmark and France finishing on 7 points each. But I think that Denmark will find a way on goal difference. So for me, yeah, it's going to be Denmark and France going through here. And I just think that they're a step above the opposition in this group. Denmark had a really impressive qualification. And even despite France's injuries that they've picked up, I think that they will get through relatively unscathed. So we do have the exact same one there, which is, this is going pretty wild. We haven't had a disagreement yet, but we'll see, because now we go over to Group E. And in Group E, we have Spain, Costa Rica, Germany, and Japan. Again, I am pretty sure that we know what will happen here in a roundabout way, but in terms of being formal, what do you see here, G?
So this is basically the group of death, I think, in this World Cup. So I've got Germany finishing first, I have Japan in second, Spain in third, and Costa Rica in fourth.
Okay, so this is where our first huge disagreement's going to be, because for me, it's all about Spain and Germany. And I actually have Spain topping the group. I think Spain is going to be a possession-based side, as we know, of course. And I think that they're just going to wear teams down in that way. And now Germany, with Hansi Flick as the manager, they're going to play some really good stuff, I think. And I think a lot of people aren't giving them the props that they necessarily need, but they will be tactically good. And I think they're going to be playing forward-thinking football. So I'm really excited to see these two sides go at it. I don't have Japan in that top two. Was there anything specific that caused you to put them there, G?
I think the biggest thing is I don't like Spain's squad for this tournament. It's very young, very inexperienced, and that's fine. It's, you know, that's the cycle of how this goes. But they've left a lot of important players at home. Sergio Ramos and David De Gea, I think, are still very capable of playing this level, and they aren't at this tournament. And it's fine that they're going to bring in younger players like Eric Garcia to play these minutes. But I think it's just not going to be enough to get them through the group.
Well, as we know, in these major tournaments, there's always one big team at least that fall out. So I think you certainly have a case there, G. It certainly could happen. Group F, Gaetano, is where everyone here will have their eyes on. It's Belgium, our country, Canada, Morocco, and Croatia. How badly we would want to see Canada go through, but will it happen with this group, my friend?
I think so. I think Canada will finish second in the group, Belgium will top it quite easily, and Croatia and Morocco will finish third and fourth.
Well, my friend, I hope that you are correct, and you are certainly more positive, shall we say, than me in this case, because I have to be honest, and as much as I want Canada to go through, I think that they will just narrowly miss out. I agree with you that Belgium will top the group, but I actually have Croatia getting second place, and I think Canada is going to end up with 4 points. I have them at a 1-1-1 record, which for a team who may not have necessarily been expected to get there, in my opinion, is quite good, I'd say. But I hope that you're right, and I hope that I am wrong when it comes to this one. Group G, we'll see Brazil, Serbia, Switzerland, and Cameroon. Another interesting group here, Gaetano. What do you have going on, and who do you see going through in this one?
Yeah, I think outside of the Canada games, this Group G is what I'm really looking forward to watching. There's some really, really interesting matchups. But I do have Brazil and Switzerland going through with Serbia and Cameroon in third and fourth.
Okay, so we started out with a ton of agreements, and now we're kind of having that hybrid here, because for me, it's all about Brazil in this group. I'm the same as you. Such a good team with obviously loads of experience and really good youth players. But I actually think Cameroon will do some bits in this tournament. It's a small gamble, but I do think that they will find a way into the knockout phase. So another slight disagreement there for the second position. So that is good stuff. Group H, the final group, has Portugal, Ghana, Uruguay, and Korea Republic. A tough group in many ways, G, but what are you seeing here, and who do you have moving on?
So I have Portugal topping this group, followed by my dark horse for this World Cup in Uruguay.
Awesome. So we are on the same page here, my friend. I've also got Portugal topping the group and Uruguay advancing in the second position. Two sides with good balance and good quality. I think Ghana and Korea will cause several problems. I don't think the games are going to be easy by any means, but I don't think that it'll be enough to stop these two sides from going through. So, folks, just to recap, Gaetano's 16 teams that are going through are, in Group A, the Netherlands and Senegal. Group B, England and Wales. Group C, Argentina and Poland. Group D, Denmark and France. Group E, Germany and Japan. Group F, Belgium and Canada. Group G, Brazil and Switzerland. And Group H, Portugal and Germany. And my 16 teams that are going to go through are the Netherlands and Senegal in Group A, Group B, England and Wales, Group C, Argentina and Poland, Group D, Denmark and France, Group E, Spain and Germany, Group F, Belgium and Croatia, Group G, Brazil and Cameroon, and Group H, Portugal and Uruguay. At the end of the group stage, we will review these picks and we will see who got the majority of their picks correct. Perhaps we will have a friendly wager of an adult beverage after soccer one night, G, for whoever gets the majority correct. How does that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to when Sunday rolls around, my friend. I had some great conversations with some folks at work today because the World Cup, of course, starts Sunday. A heads up that the World Cup does begin, in fact, this Sunday with the host Qatar playing against Ecuador at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Ecuador, are slight favorites in that game with a win probability of 40%. Games are every day after that on your local television sports network. This is Daniel Scarpino and Gaetano Gallo, and you are listening to Full Time on the Game Sports Show. A reminder that Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. You can download and access the Pizza Portal app for any of the three locations in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Have a delicious, hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Full Time. We have come to the end of our show, and we can't thank you enough for listening. Your support of the show is fantastic, and we are grateful for you all tuning in. Gaetano, such a fun show here tonight, brother. And thank you again for all of your insight and analysis. It was a pleasure, my friend.
Yeah, always a pleasure to join you, Scarps. I'll always talk in footy with you.
That's awesome, man. Awesome. A reminder to our listeners that the next episode of Full Time will be recorded on Thursday, November 24th. For weekly content, make sure to hit like, follow, and subscribe to all of our platforms of both the Game Sports Show and the Game Entertainment and Media on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, and back soon on Podbean and other platforms. Be sure to check out our website at www.thegamesportshow.com. That's www.thegamesportshow.com. For Gaetano Gallo, my name is Daniel Scarpino, and thank you for tuning in to Full Time. We look forward to seeing you at kickoff next week, back here on the Game Sports Show and the Game Entertainment and Media. Best always.